So this commentary is going to focus on Rick's attitude in the passage, which is an enigma in the play. The question is, how can you be both homosexual and homophobic in the same time? The fact is that everything in Rick's attitude suggests that he has no idea of the fact that he is a homosexual. It was such a taboo in society that it is deeply repressed into his unconscious. But his physical attitude, his compulsive addiction to alcohol clearly indicates that he's got an existential problem, that there's something wrong deep inside. And Maggie is the only person to see clearly through it. So she's going to try to help him realize the truth and possibly accept the truth. And the first thing she does is to give a positive image of Brick's relationship with Skipper. Consider lines 32 in the script. She says, "I call it noble, I respect it." She says, line 46, "It was a clean relationship." The adjective clean is repeated. Or incorruptible, line 51. But everything she says is corrupted by Brick. He twists her words. He says, line 45, 48, "You're naming it dirty. This relationship I had with Skipper was the only clean thing I had in my life, and you are naming it dirty." And visibly, that's what we have line 53, he is visibly disgusted at the idea of loving another man. Line 53, he says, "I married you, Maggie. Why would I marry you if I was..." And the sentence is unfinished. We clearly understand he means if I was a homosexual, of course, but the word is almost impossible for him to say. And what Maggie says about Skipper is also very interesting, because apparently Skipper's attitude was similar. The same thing could be said about Skipper, because he apparently made love with Maggie to prove that he was not gay. Several conclusions can be drawn from all this. Number one, Brick was a victim of self-deception. He doesn't understand who he is, or maybe he refuses to understand who he is. And in that way, it's quite easy to understand his homophobic attitude, because for him it's a sort of protection, a sort of cover-up, a way to avoid suspicion. Number two, Maggie is trying to help him because she loves him, and because she believes in the power of speaking, in the fact that when you put words on a problem, it's actually the solution to the problem. Number three, Tennessee Williams visibly shows us that Brick and Maggie are not really responsible for Skipper's suicide. Maggie feels responsible because she says, "I killed him with my merciful arrow," and because in a way she didn't manage to save him. And of course Brick feels responsible too, and that's why he keeps drinking on and on throughout the play, like punishing himself and punishing Maggie in the same time. But the play clearly indicates that the two men were victims of society, victims of a collective homophobia, which prompted Skipper to kill himself and Brick to slowly kill himself with liquor. Tennessee Williams clearly puts the blame on society, conservatism, and the pressure to have children and continue the dynasty. So the only solution would be tolerance and mutual love. But apparently this message was misunderstood and still is misunderstood, because the play is still blacklisted in the United States for being a homophobic play. So gay associations consider that the play is an offense to homosexuals because it contains homophobic language. But the question is, have they really read the script?